Let's face it. We all have products in our home that are labeled toxic, danger, poison, flammable, keep out of the reach of children, and the beat goes on. Those warnings are not and should not be taken lightly, as they are really potentially harmful to people, to pets, and of course, to the environment. They should never be poured down the drain. Please, if you hear anything in this podcast, don't pour toxic ingredients down the drain. Bad idea. So what should you do with them? What if some of those products can be put to good use and benefit the community? Hey, everybody, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Down to Earth Tucson. And I'm very excited about this because I know I'm going to learn things. I do on almost every podcast. It's like Stump Mrs. Green, but I learn things. And I hope that everyone listening will want to stay with us and learn along with me. I don't know a single person, whether they own or rent their home, live in an apartment, they have stuff that lies beneath. It's under their sinks, it's out in their garage, it's on a shelf somewhere, and we all have what I lovingly call household hazardous waste. And as I said, most of us put it places and then we forget about it. So in studio with me are two people who are going to tell us just why that might not be the best idea, give us some ideas about what we can do with what lies beneath, and get us excited about a creative, innovative program that helps create jobs basically using waste. That's what I would say. So please join me in welcoming first-time guests on our show, both of you, Kendra Hall. She is a public information specialist, City of Tucson, Department of Environmental and General Services. Here, not in place of, but because you are a new addition to the team of our dear friend, Christina Paulsgrove. And tell her I said hi, and I hope this all goes well. I'm sure it will. You're a wonderful new addition to the team, and she needed you. And Jim Campbell, who I'm thrilled to have here, and we had some really great pre-podcast conversation, customized work team, senior project manager at the Beacon Group. So it's great to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's going to be fun.
Excited.
So Kendra, let's start with you, because even though you're relatively new to the team, you know lots about waste and recycling. You stumped me, which I'm still embarrassed about. That video is soon to be released. And the impact that all of it collectively has on our environment. So do you have a sense for some of the things that the average student, average citizen does have stored beneath? What are some of the things that I can't even think of? Paint is obvious,
right.
Paint thinner, but what else?
A lot of household cleaners. So a lot of times we don't buy until, you know, we still have some left. So I think the best practice would be once it's completely empty, then buy a new thing. But, you know, we have a cleaner for the kitchen, one for the bathroom, one for the toilet, one for the windows. Instead of all of that, try and see how you can just buy one cleaner for everything and just reduce what you're buying in the first place. We also see a lot of batteries, and a lot of, they bring them in a huge bag, and, you know, some button batteries can crush and start a fire. So a lot of just batteries in bags of all different types of batteries. So we do see a lot of paint as well.
And we have to be careful. When I first started on this journey, I remember being educated about if you have small children and you have something under your sink that says, if this is ingested by a child, rush them to the hospital. We really did ultimately get rid of all that because there are good, effective replacements that work. You shouldn't have things in your home anymore that say, if this happens to your child. Now, do we have some secretly stored away that we use at times, like maybe, I don't know, Rust-Oleum or something like that? I don't know. That's not my area of expertise. But they're really hidden away. So
right.
It's like, beware as a consumer. And the other thing that I added into this conversation is pets. Mm-hmm. You know, I've interviewed some vets. Pets are so much sicker with all kind of maladies that they never had before. And it's all because of, you know, if you ask me, the expert environmental impact and the stuff you spray, and people are still using Roundup. So it's things like that.
We actually take cooking oil too. And that's something that you don't think of as hazardous waste, but we actually just heard from someone recently that they poured a bunch of it into the desert. Someone poured a bunch of old bacon grease.
What were they thinking?
Yeah, and the dog, they took their dog for a walk and ingested pounds of that dirt because it was covered in bacon grease. So of course you're going to want to eat the dirt.
I might even have a bite.
Exactly, yeah. And so Yeah, and the dog was had to have its stomach pumped, was really sick. So don't ever dump it in the desert, too. That's
oh, and a lot of people care more about their pets. Let's be honest, they're fanatics, and that's okay. I love our dog. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm crazy about our dog, too. But just beware of the impact that you might be having on somebody else. I was talking to Jim before you got here about mindfulness. And be mindful of what you're doing, because it has an impact. Right. Pretty much anything we do outside of breathing, and even that has an impact. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we get to the important partnership that you have with the Beacon Group, one of the most successful programs in Tucson, I am sure, is the Household Hazardous Waste Disposal Program that happens the first Saturday of every month. So I thought, share a little bit about that, because we have an opportunity.
Right. So we do the first Saturday of every month, but we also have two other locations where you can drop it off at any time throughout the year. So we have one at Sweetwater, that's open on Fridays, and we have one at the Los Reales Landfill, and that's open Monday through Saturday. So we hope more people would take advantage of it, because, you know, we could always see more. We do also at-home pickups, which is great. So, you know, say you have a truck full, it's free to Tucson residents, and by free, I mean your bill goes to cover that. Right. So not technically free, but if you live outside the city, it is a $10 fee. So that's not bad. Bring down a truckload and you can bring your cleaners, your oils, your batteries, your paint, all in one, as long as they're separated in proper containers.
I bet you see some interesting things. Yeah. We just recently did a trip to the recycling plant, and I'm not going to talk about what they found in their recycling one day. So, but the thing that I think is important for our listeners is to know there is a place you can take it. It is free if you're in the city limits, and it is very successful.
Right.
I've been to it a couple of times, and cars line up well in advance because it's the safe, right thing to do.
Right. And we do recycle these products. So we'll either dispose of it properly or recycle it, which is great, because you're, you know, we'll put the cooking oil into our motor oil drum, and it'll go to auto fluids, things like that. So we do recycle everything, which is great. 99% of everything we collect is recycled.
I didn't know that. See, I told you I was going to learn things on the show. I didn't know that. I knew a lot of it was, but I knew it was all handled well. Okay. So, Jim, now it's all about you. But before I start firing away on the questions, I just wanted to kind of make a pre-comment about my thoughtfulness in preparing for this show. And it's all about partnerships. That's one of my favorite words. And I think it's a word for the future, because it's what's going to help organizations succeed. The solo, silo, do it on your own, I hope it's dying. And I think there's more evidence locally and nationally. And it's very encouraging to me. This is a public-private partnership. It's the quintessence of a successful one. And I'm all about it. And it helps. It takes the strength and commitment of the partners. It helps things like infrastructure and the skills of respective staffs are put into utilization, your missions, and it maximizes them. And I love that expression. It's one of my favorite. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And this is a true case. The city does not want to get into the business of making recycled paint. It's not your mission. So we need more of these. So, Jim, I have lots of questions, particularly about the paint program, but it's best to start, I'm glad I thought of this, tell us about the Beacon Group, because you'll be talking about it, and they'll say, what's the Beacon Group? I never heard of it, or what do they do?
The Beacon Group is a nonprofit organization that works, our main mission is to find people with disabilities jobs, and have them be able to find work, or train them how to work, and our ultimate goal is to get a job out into the public. But if not, then we have work crews. I'm responsible for all of the customized work teams. Customized work teams is exactly that. We design programs to put people to work what fits their disability. We have a landscaping division. We have a power wash, car washing division. We do warehousing operations. We do anything from vendor machine washing and cleaning the outside of vending machines. So if a company has an operation that needs something done, we find a niche in their operation, and we try to fit the people who can do those things and put them to work out into their companies. We're kind of like what I call a soup to nuts organization. We have an organization group that is called our DTAs, or our daytime organization, where people with some more severe disabilities can come there and participate and play games, videos, go out on outings, go shopping, that sort of thing. So they're not just sitting at home. Then we have what our assembly group downstairs, which probably employs close to 150 people. and then their level of disabilities at a certain point. And from there, we look to see what are their capabilities. So then if they have strong capabilities, then we put them on one of our customized work teams and train them in job skills and that sort of thing, personal skills, you know, how to work in the public, how they should conduct themselves in the public. And then from there, we see if they can grow some further, and we put them in job placement. And then they'll take over and try to find them a job in the community. And so it's kind of like goes all over the whole gamut of range of opportunities for them to find what they need. And if they want to stay in a certain program, that's their choice. And that's what we're all about, is choice. So these people can decide that I want to just work at the car wash, and that's what I like to do. No problem. So,
you know, you really, really did describe it eloquently. I have been down there for tours. Never made it through once without, I'm an empath, so I get emotional in a really good way. And what people may not be aware of is just the socialization piece for, like, people with Down syndrome who are typically very friendly, very outgoing, very loving, very capable. And if they're sitting in their home by themselves, it's not the same quality of life and productivity and interaction as being there with a group of people and just having somebody to talk to.
Well, the opportunity for them to be able to socialize is a major part of it.
Right.
But also, at the end of the week and somebody hands them a paycheck, that's a whole nother sense of pride and ability. And, you know, they'll come into work the next on Monday and say, I took my family out to dinner. That was a great accomplishment for them. You know,
and I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of the Beacon Group. I remember it when it was the Beacon Foundation. That's how I'm dating myself. But ever since I became aware of it, and it's just done nothing but evolve and grow and create a lot of these. And I also feel it says a lot about Tucson, because the local employers, big and small, hire you. And that's great.
Tucson's probably the largest employer. I'll just put it as Tucson as general, as far as hiring people with disabilities. We've expanded up into the Phoenix area now, and it's starting to grow, and we're starting to get momentum as our name gets known. So it's a little bit, you know, a little just education that people have to understand.
I love it when we can bring something up the road to Phoenix, being a diehard Wildcat.
Oh, that's
bring it up there.
Exactly. So, I mean, but they're starting to see our trucks around. They're seeing our vehicles, you know, because they're all marked. They're all, people always say, I saw your trucks over on the side of the road cleaning up the division area. So it was really kind of interesting to see how we're able to expand just through word of mouth, through just people acknowledging what we do. And in the companies that we work, what happens is we become part of their family.
Right, right.
And that's the objective, because, you know, our guys, once they work for somebody, working with the city of Tucson in our landscaping divisions and other areas. We do a lot of things with the environmental service group, with the landfill and the paint program, as well as we take care of the sites for the recycling sites that are out there for all the corrugated and cans and things like that. Our guys go and make sure they're cleaned up and organized.
Yeah, because I just did a tour again. I took a tour from the Hotel Congress team to the recycling plant, and, you know, I still call it the MRF. And it's they were blown away. Like, they decided they wanted to go to the recycling plant, and I said, trust me, you do. And they were blown away by the enormity of it, by the efficiency of it, by the operation. But it's still a lot of those little pieces of paper and a lot of those things, they fall off. And it's mind-boggling. I think everybody should have to take a tour of the recycling plant, because let's remember the first R is reduce. We need to all remember that there should be less recycling. But
Remember the right way to recycle.
Yes, the right way. Boy, are we harping on that. We can't talk about me being shamed yet, because the video hasn't been released. How Kendra and Christina shamed Stump Mrs. Green. So you mentioned the paint program, and that's what we're going to talk about, because I have a lot that I think about this plan with my challenges with people being inconvenienced. But let's start about all the good part. So what is the recycled paint program between the city of Tucson and the Beacon Group?
Well,
Yeah, I can talk about how we collect it, and then I'll hand it over to you.
Start from the beginning. Enter Kendra.
We collect it at Household Hazardous Waste, so either at Sweetwater or that location at Los Reales Landfill, or at the first Saturday monthly outreach site. So we collect paint, and we, you know, any bit of paint. So even if there's just a little bit left and you didn't use it all, and it's, you know, still perfectly fine.
Which is what everybody has in their house.
Yeah, you always buy way too much. But instead of doing that, you can go to Beacon and, you know, get a little bit cheaper paint, you know, just as good paint. It's recycled. So we collect it, and it can't be dried up. So that's is something that we see a lot, that
please,
we don't want it to
be
dried up.
They don't need dried up paint. Right. Take your paint cans, though.
Yes.
There.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, right. But we don't want it dried up. So we'll take the paint. We even take spray paint. We don't, Beacon doesn't use that. But we'll take paint, and then we bring it over to Beacon, and that's where I'll let you take over.
And then what happens there? Let the magic begin.
I think, you know, it's we also participate in the Home Hazardous Waste Program every month. We have a truck that shows up there. It's a 26-foot truck, and probably within 2 hours, it's filled with paint, latex paint only.
Really?
Yes. And it's to the point where we almost need two trucks every month to take away what people bring. Now, part of it is you have to educate the public about the dried out cans. We don't need those.
We don't need varnish.
We don't need varnish. We don't need the, you know, the oil-based paints. But that's part of what the, you know,
latex paint.
But the city's really good about separating it out as part of what we do. But we take that part of it, and also we make a weekly pickup. About, we can probably pick up anywhere from 10 to 20 pallets of paint, or cages, which is the size of a pallet, of paint every week.
Where?
We pick it up from the...
At the hazardous waste sites that you talked about?
Mm-hmm.
So it's ongoing.
Ongoing.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Non-stop.
What impresses me, and I kind of want to press pause here and do a shout-out to the consumers in Tucson, the fact that it's so successful talks about how people more and more are living consciously, and, mm-hmm. and the fact that that HHW program is so successful.
Right.
It blows me away. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really does. Okay, so what do you do with it then?
So,
and how does it benefit your mission and the community? What do you do with old,
all right, so
used
we collect
paint?
The paint,
right.
And we bring it into our facility, and we have it set up so we have a separation of about 8 different colors. You know,
which shocks me, because you're using a smorgy-borgy of
well,
paint
I mean,
colors.
They're beautiful. You know, they're
really nice. I wish I had a palette, you know. But
I know someday we're going to have video.
We do a drawdown of the color, and then we try to, then we kind of create a family. So, yes, our blues are blues, our reds are reds, our greens are greens, browns, tans, you know, different
variations. And then everything else is gray.
And actually, there's not very much gray.
What?
Everything then is, then we got primarily, we usually run 2 drums of white. And then the rest are just the other colors. And then it's in a family. So, and even in the give and take, as far as even in a standard buying regular, you know, non-recycled paint, their variation is up to 10% also. So,
got it.
So you can still be within that family. Or if you buy 2 5-gallon pails, which we sell, you can mix the two together and blend the color to get to where you want. But what we do is we take that paint, we open up the cans, we evaluate it, make sure it's good still, and if there's no odor and there's no problem with it, and then we dump it into 55-gallon drums, and we collect those till we get to a certain level, and then we basically mix it and mix it really, really well, and then we filter it through and fill into 5-gallon pails. And those we label and mark as far as the color that's on them. And we put them in our store that we have at our location at 2700 Stone Avenue here in Tucson. North Stone Avenue here in Tucson. But it's like, and the whole display of colors are right there for people to pick from.
And I did, of course, my research, and I was just thinking about this. The difference between me and someone that's just what I would call like an interviewer, I'm an environmental educator. I'm not just a podcaster. So this stuff really, really interests me. And I do the deep dive, and then I become a Wikipedia and tell a lot of other people. Mm. So I've been down there. I've been on the tour a couple of times, and I believe in this. What does your average customer look like? Is there a demographic? Are you selling mostly to consumers or to businesses, or What is the demographic of your clients look like?
Well, right now, it's mostly individual consumers.
That's great, though. That's the answer that, I would hope to get.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't, you know, broken into that contractor market as much. We'd love to.
Yeah, but there's more consumers.
There's more consumers. And I think it's word of mouth. We just got to get the word out that we're there and that we're readily available and that you're getting an extremely great bargain. We sell a 5-gallon pail of white paint for $35.
And how much is it? I'm not a big white paint buyer.
The cheap end at like a Home Depot or a Lowe's is a minimum of probably $70 to $80.
So people listening, like this is what I say about when they say it's more expensive to be green. It isn't. It's a little bit inconvenient, but who has a Lowe's or a Home Depot on their corner?
Right.
Not unless you live in a little area. So go to Beacon, and it's really the epitome of the green trifecta, people, profit, planet, because you, I mean, this has really taken it to another level. And I had no idea the price difference was that
the
much.
The price difference is significant. Colors is even much lower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now we're selling colors for $15 for a 5-gallon pail. And obviously for a 1-gallon color of paint, you're paying $30.
So I did the litmus test because I have to check it out. I went to your site, very user-friendly, and I thought, I wonder if it's easy to find. Right on the home page, click on it, beacongroup.org, and you go there, and it's about 4 down, and it's the paint. Click on it. The colors are all there. So it's really a piece of cake for people to find it. You make it easy.
And I think people think recycled paint, and they think, you know, it's not going to be good quality. But I know people have used it.
What do your customers say? Do they come back?
They come back. That's one of our successes. We've been getting repeat customers. And we've gotten people to provide us with pictures of their homes after they've painted them, and you know how well it worked for them, the savings they were so appreciative of. You know, we found out when we were successful was when we started getting back through the Home Hazardous Waste Program our paint buckets.
That's a good measurement of success.
Indoor and outdoor, right?
Yes, and it's good for indoor and outdoor.
Yeah. Kendra, thank you.
I know someone who painted
only
his shed with
indoor.
It's great. Rained. It's
okay.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest. You're not going to be promoting a program that sells garbage to customers because it wouldn't work.
No.
It's high quality latex paint. And I read that loud and clear. So you're doing a quality product at an affordable price. That's a huge price difference.
It's huge.
Huge price difference. Is your biggest challenge getting the word out?
Because it's getting the word out.
It's a really well-kept secret.
Yes. It's probably one of the best-kept money-saving secrets we have in Tucson.
So, Kendra, no pressure. We have to SEO the heck out of this. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Green's World, Beacon Group, and you. Take this podcast and use it as an education piece, even a clip from it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Is going to be a good opportunity.
I have to say one thing, though. The major part of this program is that we're putting people with disabilities to work. And that's
thank you for bringing us back to that.
Because that's the whole mission.
That's the heart.
That's the heart of it. And our people, we have people who have been in with this same program since we've been doing it for 5 years. The same people are still working that program. And they take ownership. They love what they're doing. And, you know, their clothes will tell you that. Mm-hmm. They're full of paint.
So all the looks on their faces.
Yes.
When you go down there, you can't fake that. You really can't. That's how I feel when I go anyplace. I'm looking and I'm feeling, and it's a good feeling.
In our store area, we have pictures of kind of like the story, what it tells of how they go through the process. And you'll see everybody kind of working along the process. And we have a number of people, they'll come up and tell you exactly what they do, how they do it. And I think you got a taste of that when you were there.
Yes.
That they, you know, they're
Kendra,
quick
isn't
to introduce
it amazing?
You.
It's great, yeah.
Like, it's a big operation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many, and I've been there when the work crews showed up and they were getting their assignments and where they were going to go. And it's pretty, it's something as a Tucsonan I'm really proud of to see what has happened. And thank you for bringing us back to the mission of what it really benefits. Yes, you save money on paint, but you're employing someone in a meaningful way, not a crappy job. I don't want to be crass and use that word, but it fits.
All of our guys make minimum wage. So they're all making, come January, $12 an hour. and they make a, you know, they work anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day, which is normally a good schedule for them based on their abilities. And so, you know, it's a wonderful program, and they can put a good chunk of money in their pocket and, you know, learn a process and understand a business, because they're also being involved with the public. The public's coming in to buy the product. They're seeing money exchanging. Then they help them take the product to their cars. So they're exposed to the outside environment.
And in terms of workforce development, a lot of the people that work for you need some extra support. They do.
Absolutely.
They need some extra training. They need somebody to be watching them that knows what they're doing because of the disability. So it's like, I call it the whole green enchilada. It's one of my favorite phrases.
So one of the backbones of our organization is our job coaches.
Yeah.
And they are the people who make things run with the people who are out there doing the work, because they make up the difference. So I can. One of our, unfortunately, what we call our guys are clients, but as workers, they, you know, they might be able to go this far. The job coach gets them to the finish line.
To the next level, yeah.
You know? And so that's what's so
it's
beneficial.
It's essential.
It is. It's absolutely essential.
So did I miss anything? I don't think so. I think it's wonderful, and I always want to be reminded, because Kelly King, our show producer, sits right here on this shoulder, reminding everyone who's listening that every website we mention is in the on the page, the podcast page, and you can click on it. We have had many listeners thank us for that, because they go to our page on our website, they listen to it. We refer to a website, and it's right there, because Kelly puts them all in. She listens to every podcast.
That's great.
Yours will be in, Kendra. Yours will be in. And everybody out there, here's my last word. And I really, really wrote this from the heart. I'm going to get to where I don't have to write a thing, because I really don't have to. But for this show, my last words are, I invite every listener to take a few minutes and reflect on what we just discussed, like press pause and maybe take a deeper cut in terms of the impact of a partnership like this one. It's a poster child or an example of a public-private partnership where everyone wins, including the planet, which is who I'm the spokesperson for. Old paint gets converted into new paint. Waste is converted into something useful so that the planet wins, and the partnership creates meaningful employment for an at-risk population involving a local nonprofit. But here's the rub. For us, the consumer, supporting an enterprise like this takes a little bit more effort on our part, and I mean a little bit. It's just tweaking your brain a little bit. Like I said, you'll drive clear across town to go to a big box store. Take a drive across town to go to Beacon Group to buy your paint. It's not like going to a big box store. And I say, thank goodness for that, because they give me hyperventilation. I love it. You'd get better customer service. So I'm going to end with a question for everybody. When you think about this effort, its impact on people who might not otherwise be employed, and its positive impact on the very planet on which we all live, isn't it worth it? I hope so. So Kendra and Jim, thanks for taking the time to be here and for sharing good green news. I love it when we can share good green news, because there's a lot of bad green news out there. We're not going to talk about that. And for taking the time to not just share the story, but I'm sure our listeners will know you shared it with passion and commitment. It's been fun and a pleasure, but also intentional. And I always end with a big, warm, heartfelt, sincere thanks to all of our wonderful listeners, and thank them for being a part of the Mrs. Green's world. So thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It was fun.